You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio. Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Today we're talking about long, healthy relationships. I'll even go to our title slide, which is this. Guess what it is?
Long, healthy relationships.
So I think two things. One, in order to have a long, healthy relationship, you need to have longevity.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have health yourself. And so it almost seems like, what is it called? Symbiotic?
Yeah.
Like they work well together. That if you have health in your relationship, the relationship itself, it will support health in your life. Generally speaking, not all the time specifically, but generally speaking, there are better outcomes from a health perspective when you have a loving, healthy relationship. And on the other hand, I think one of our hypotheses is that when you are healthy, it enables you to have a healthy relationship.
I guess, and the interesting point is figure out how healthy we are, you know, because sometimes healthy is not necessarily physical healthy, it's mental healthy, it's emotional healthy. So I guess this show can provide some kind of question in your mind to figure out how much healthy I am.
So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about how a healthy relationship should be able to support some of these things in your life that will also help you and be beneficial in health. And if you feel that they're not, then maybe that's the relationship that's impacting your health, right?
Yeah. Or backwards.
Or backwards, or both. They're tied together.
Yeah,
So our hypothesis today is that relationships between healthy people are healthier, happier, longer, and more fulfilling. Mm-hmm. Kind of makes sense. But what comes first, the chicken or the egg?
It's a big philosophy.
What comes first?
Be or not to be.
The individual health of the people in the relationship or the health of the relationship?
Okay.
I think they're
integrated.
Inextricably tied together.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we want to start with? We've read a couple of different studies. I think we're going to start off with some interesting notes. Let me see if I can find this here. Here we go. So I found a paper written by the University of Texas at Austin. This is the Dell Medical School. It's a paper that was on their website. We took some notes from it, but it was very interesting. It was the benefits of love. It's the benefits of being specifically in marriage, but it also was in partner relationships as well as really good social friendships. More specifically, marriage, though, and that was specifically, that was in the article itself, the paper that was written. Here are a couple of them. That benefits of love when you're in a loving relationship is an increased life expectancy. That's good. Lower the risk of heart attack. Reduce the likelihood of cancer or severity of, decreased chance of pneumonia infection, maintains a healthy heart, lower the risk of developing cardiovascular disease when compared with those who are in stressful relationships or lonely relationships or those who are just alone. Let's go back to those couple of things there. So the increased life expectancy when you're in a healthy, happy relationship, is it because you nurture each other? Is it because you have better nutrition? Mm. There's so many things that we're going to hit today.
Yeah. You can be commitment with your partner to be healthy together. So is it make a out of motivation between both? can be.
Help you get up and move.
Yeah.
Right. So you get up and move, and then there's all those love chemicals that also help too.
Yeah.
Right. There's some positive things that are induced from that as well. The reduced likelihood of cancer or severity from it thereof is not just that you don't get cancer, but you may have somebody who can help support, help make you realize that, oh, maybe you should seek medical treatment sooner,
mm-hmm.
and that somebody help you take care of yourself or you take care of the other person in this situation, which helps the recovery, helps early treatment. And so it's not necessarily that, oh, you're cancer free if you're in a good loving relationship, but the outcomes can be better.
Yeah.
So that's one. And then the healthy heart part is, I believe that part of it is the love. It's the additional interaction, but even the motivation, you know, the longer lifespan of the challenge, right? The mental challenge that you have.
Yeah.
That's something that's really important.
How you can share with your partner versus you be alone, you know? So you can, maybe you are more stressful, less, who knows? But this kind, the dynamic, maybe if you can handle well, can be positive for your life.
It is. And we've known people, you know, like my parents, who they lived a long life together, and then when one deteriorated, the other did rapidly afterwards. And it was like the relationship helped give each a reason for living, a motivation.
Yeah, stay together and support each other. Yeah.
So those things happen with many couples who get older. And let's go beyond that, is that people that even have that social interaction, just having that reason to get out and talk to people and meet with people. And we're going to hit that too on some of the other slides and some of the other points that we make. Let's go on to the second piece here. And if I can get to the right mouse, there we go. So loving relationships, the benefit of love, can help lower your blood pressure. It lower the people who are in healthy, happy, loving relationships tend to have lower blood pressure values. And this is true for happily versus unhappily married, or happily married versus single people, just tendency to have lower. And maybe there's a more active lifestyle, or there could be other things, dietary. Maybe there's more things that you need to spend money on, so you're really checking out that food budget. You know, we're eating more healthy because we decide to do that together. There's so many reasons for this thing. It's just not that you're married and therefore you're going to be better off. But there's a
lot
of decisions.
It depends on the couple. So some couple is not happy. Maybe the blood pressure is increased and, you know, a lot of stuff.
Again, and this is what Lizette was saying early on, is that if you're finding that you're in a relationship and all these things are actually worse, then maybe the relationship
could not be healthy.
Yeah. It could just be coincidence, but at the same time, a healthy relationship should, what is that called? Help. Magnify, should leverage the health that you already have, because now you can share all the benefits with each other. Decreases anxiety. So a healthy relationship should decrease the anxiety. What is shown is that the reward pleasure areas of the brain are more active. The response increases when you're in a loving relationship. And there's reduced activity in the anxiety-producing areas of the brain. Maybe it's because you know you have support.
Yeah, sometimes when you have healthy relationship, it's a mirror, you know? So you are excited that people say, hey, watch out, what happened with you, and vice versa, yeah.
Or talking me out of being so upset about something, right? Hey, that's the wrong thing to be focused on. Be focused on this. Hey, here's a piece of flashy silver. Don't pay any attention to that thing over there, right?
Exactly.
You know, oh, what? Oh, I forgot to be angry. So anxiety can be reduced. What else? Benefits of love. Reduces stress levels. People who are in love, in a loving relationship, a healthy relationship, are less likely to feel stressed. That being in a relationship, your partner should be able to help you through difficult situations, different emotions. If you have emotional challenges, maybe something happened at work, maybe you got into a car accident, maybe you lost something. Well, in a healthy relationship, your partner helps reduce the stress that might be associated with daily living.
Yeah, and also because for me, I feel like that you have somebody that maybe can work by team. Mm. So when I was single, I feel that the all responsibilities in my shoulder for take care of the house, take care of this. So now that we are teen, I feel like that, okay, now we can move, take a more risk, take a do something project, but because we can work in like the team. So I feel less stress.
And you can each take on a portion of the project, and you can work in the specialty area of the project. Mm-hmm. So as Lizette likes designing things sometimes, and then I like building things sometimes. Yeah, yeah. And I like building them again when I didn't build them right the first time.
And I say, that is wrong.
But we
I
do.
Told you.
No, yeah, no. She loves everything I do. I'm perfect in everything I do. Mm-hmm. That being in a loving, healthy relationship can ease acute or chronic pain. Again, this has a lot to do with the brain activity. That in a healthy relationship, a loving relationship, you can have increased brain activity in the pain control areas of your brain. You have fewer instances of back pain and headaches.
What happened when you had a headache?
Oh, I have a headache. I just imagine how bad my headache would be if you weren't here.
Yes, because but, when I be out, you have a headache. When I hear, you don't have. So.
But I find funny is, I'm going to talk generally about our kids, that they, oh, my back hurts. Oh, I have a headache today. And I don't know.
Because don't have relationship.
Is it that what it is?
Yes, that's it.
Or so they need to have something to complain about, right? So
exactly.
I think though sometimes is that if you have nothing to focus on, you focus on your own pain. Mm-hmm. And I've heard people they complain about their back, but they've been focused on it. They've been focused on, oh, my back hurts, rather than go, you know, I'm not going to focus on it. I'm going to focus on my health side. And not that if you have an actual back issue that it's not a problem, but I remember when I was younger, I had the same thing. I went to the chiropractor every week, and you do this, and you do that. And now all of a sudden you get married, you have very little time because you're busy at work, you're busy at home, you do have kids, you do this, and all of a sudden you forget you have back issues.
Or arm
issues. Well, we still go through these things, but I think there's so many other goals and so many other things we face together that sometimes you start forgetting about these little pains.
I saw with my grandmama by phone last week, and she said, no, she have 98. Oh, a little, I don't remember, the hers is a lead or something like that. And I said, that is the signal that you are alive. If you don't have feeling anything, watch up. So she's using now this, like, every time I have a pain, I am alive.
Oh, that's great. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, ow. That's great.
Yeah, so.
What's next on our list here? Let's see what else we have on our list here. Okay. Oh, here's some other. This is really important. I did a show when Lizette wasn't around, and it had to do with the bacteria in your gut, right? When you're born with something like 1,000 strains of bacteria. And they say only less than 50% of that bacteria in your gut when you're born is actually identified and known what kind of bacteria it is. Less than 50%. So there's a lot of bacteria. So a lot of what our health is, a lot of what our immune system is because of our gut.
Yeah.
Well, 80% of your immune system resides in your gut. So our gut bacteria, the microbes in there, helps fight off harmful bacteria. It also protects our intestines from toxins and other things that are trying to eat at us and kill us. That being in love and having reduced anxiety, and these things all interplay. But think about like how you get bad chemicals. Like when you're really anxious, you feel it, and you feel it in your stomach.
Yeah, or scared. Like I told you, the other doctor talking about when you are scared, your body creates some kind of the chemical in your stomach that is active, so you can be a little scared with stress for long term.
Right.
Like that you go to your office and you are tense.
Oh my.
Or you are scared, but you have 8 hours with this feeling, and then you start to create problem in your stomach, and then that is your gut problem.
Right, and we were talking about this. We were talking about like when you're really scared.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever seen this, like you've seen a movie, somebody saw something horrible and they throw up.
Mm-hmm.
Or they like fall over because you evacuate your system because now you don't want blood.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want your food being digested because now you want to move your blood to your away from your extremities, but mm-hmm. to your legs so you can run, right?
Mm-hmm.
That flight or fight
mm-hmm. reaction. Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, when you quote regurgitate or throw up, you've changed your chemistry, and maybe you don't get to that point of throwing up, but maybe you feel sick to your stomach when you're scared or anxious
because your system not working well.
It doesn't, and the chemistry changes, and when the chemistry changes, the biome changes, and when that changes, your microbes change, and maybe it now allows certain microbes and toxins and bacteria into you, which could, oh, now I'm sick. So stress can cause through the gut.
Yeah.
Can
yeah.
cause sickness. And we're not saying this as medical doctors. We're just analyzing as engineers what is logical and makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah.
So what else do we have? Oh, so again, the gut bacteria play an important role. One, digest food. Oh, mm-hmm. and something I just read, which was amazing, is that they said that a lot of the food we eat, the natural foods we eat, have the enzymes in them to digest them, and basically our gut bacteria is enabling the enzymes that are inherent in our food already to help digest the food, that the food actually digests itself, which I need to look more into,
yeah.
but that was in the research. Is the research I was reading on for today's show brought that up, and I'm like, wow, that's interesting. So you mean the actual enzymes in good natural foods are already in there to help us digest them.
Okay, now I got you.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So for example, the pineapple. So when you eat meat, you know, in Brazilian, they bring the pineapple because
right.
the pineapple helps to digestion the old beef.
So the natural enzymes are in the yeah. foods we eat to help yeah. digest the food we're eating.
Yeah.
And the reason we have a hard time digesting some foods is it's so processed, those enzymes mm-hmm. are gone. Again, an assumption, a conclusion that I am presenting more of as a hypothesis.
Yeah.
But it's probably true.
You are right.
Who knows? Being in a loving relationship improves your sleep. In a loving relationship, you do not need to sleep with one eye open.
If you know are healthy, it's because you have to pay attention
pay
to your
attention.
Partner,
yeah.
So you cannot sleep.
Never fall asleep. Tensions are
always
eased.
Awake.
So the other morning, Lizette made me a cup of what was a latte.
Mm-hmm.
And I must have been sleeping because she came in, she put it down on the counter next to the bed. I never heard it. And like about 20 minutes later, I wake up and I'm like, where did this come from? And I'm like, how did she, you know, she clink, 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 put it down on. So I must be really in love.
True love.
True love. I can sleep and sleep through a coffee cup being knocked onto a tabletop.
And I put some potion in the coffee.
Ooh, and I slept for another 2 hours. She had the best morning ever. She got all this stuff done. It was amazing. Oh, let's see where we are here. Whoops, wrong one. Is that it?
No, we have to
wait. It is. That's it for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the end of segment one. When we come back, we'll talk more about healthy, long relationships and longevity of you and how that impacts your relationship as well. On 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date. And then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Days Solutions. Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
I'm checking the monitor level to make sure we're speaking and getting recorded.
Please.
So working. We're going to talk about a couple of interesting thoughts that will lead into the next segment, which is research on longevity. So we're going to try to find some kind of correlation between healthy relationship and health in general, and how some of these things overlap and overlay with each other. How's that? Mm-hmm. Sounds good?
Sounds good.
One of the things that bothered me in reading this paper is it brought up this study of 35,000 women between the ages of 49 and 83 years old, and it captured the increased likelihood of, let me get this here, cardiovascular and oncological disease, that there was a 20 to 30% higher likelihood of having that if these women consumed separated or synthesized vitamins. Mm-hmm. So what it talked about were studies that were done, a huge number of studies over a big, large group of women, that showed that taking synthesized vitamins, or what they call separated, meaning that they didn't occur naturally with the other vitamins that normally occurred with them in the natural fruit, vegetable, or food, that these separated vitamins, when somebody had been taking them for a long period of time, there was a 20 to 30% higher likelihood of these oncological or cardiovascular diseases and problems. That got me thinking, oh, maybe we need to take natural vitamins, or maybe we need to take the vitamins in their natural form, which means like really start focusing on the foods we eat. Mm-hmm. And that the vitamins are, you know, we have to figure out, are these vitamins natural? Are they safe? Are they effective? Are they not synthesized, but they're made from the natural stuff?
Are they
combined with the stuff that they should be, where they support each other, rather than, oh, I've split this one vitamin off by itself and it really does no good, and we think it does good. Second thing was positive correlation between the consumption of animal meats and the rate of mortality from cancer and diabetes. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily mean it's the reason. It doesn't mean it's the cause. It's just saying there's a correlation, positive correlation, meaning the higher the meat intake, the higher the mortality from cancer and diabetes.
Okay.
So not to be confused between correlation and causation. They're not saying that caused it, but correlation means, is there a cause? It makes you think, let's look further into it and see if we can directly compare it to that. Because there might be a whole bunch of other lifestyle things between those two things. There's some other stuff we're going to come up with very shortly here. And that there was a negative correlation between the intake of nutrients from vegetable sources, plant-based foods, with the same statistics on mortality. So higher mortality with meat eating, lower mortality with plant-based eating. Again, statistics and correlation, not causation. And what we're trying to say is that it gives you a reason to study this further. It's not a conclusion as to why this occurs. We're going to give you some examples of why we think it may occur in a moment here. Let's see what else we got here. So go to that next interesting... Oh, this was another one. This was great. Stress. There's so many words on the screen, I don't want to bring these up, but the stress is that every day is filled with stress, right?
Yes.
I think we're so focused on stress in our society that, oh, that's stressful. Oh, you're stressful. Those words make me stressful. But part of this is just, it's all make-believe in a way. There is no life without stress. We always have to, just picking up this book, 90 Day Soulmate, it takes effort. It's stress. You know, I feel my body do something. So what this study talked about was the difference between good stressors and bad stressors, and how we could use lifestyle choices to help lessen the bad stresses and reduce the impact, the negative impact from bad stress. For instance, they talk about these things called, and I hope I pronounce this right, eustressors, E-U-stressors, eustressors. That these are stressors that are very weak stressors, and they're actually beneficial for us because how we react to them. For instance, morning exercise, cold training, which I guess going into the cold or maybe going into cold water. Mm-hmm. That's a stress, but it's a stress that we get stronger from. We react positively to physical activity, you know, doing some weightlifting, playing some tennis, doing some walking. Mm-hmm. They talk about this thing, 10,000 steps, that there's a goal of 10,000 steps a day as a, and I think this is one of the longevity variables, that having a, you know, those people who walk 10,000 steps or more a day in just normal activity tend to be healthier, live longer. Love, I put love twice, love and love. Love's very important. Because love, there is a little bit of stress in interacting, right?
Yes.
if you're paying attention to the person that you mm-hmm. love mm-hmm. and you're talking with them, there is trying to, you know, I really want to think before I speak, mm-hmm. right? Not like I used to, and not think before, but now I got to make sure that I'm actually, you know, like we talk about is that when we first met, if I said something without thinking, Lizette would say,
say it again, please.
Say it again. I don't understand.
I don't understand. What does it mean? So it's a time that he can
think before speaking. Mm-hmm. So there's a stress involved in thinking before speaking. Mm-hmm. And what that means is that you're using effort. And when you're using effort, it's stress. But these are good stresses. Okay. So in a loving relationship, it's a good stress because you're figuring out the better way to approach things, how to deal and interact with somebody. That, here's some other good stressors, like watching theater pieces. You're watching a movie, you're watching a theater, you're watching a production. You have to think, and mm-hmm. thinking is stress. And you may have some emotions from it because it's an emotionally producing drama.
Yeah.
So these are stresses. That optimistic viewpoint, how to see things from an optimistic viewpoint. It may take effort to be an optimist.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it takes no effort to be an optimist. Wait, you're being too optimistic. So it takes effort.
Yeah, so the thinking something positive in one critical situation is stressful.
Meaning it's a tough situation.
Yeah.
How do I make something positive out of it?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So optimism may be actually more difficult than being a pessimist or being a realist.
Yeah.
Because an optimist has to think that there is a good outcome and I can figure out what this good outcome is. And it's finding a solution, maybe in the face of seeing no solutions,
mm-hmm.
an impossible problem, but I'm an optimist, so I need to find the solution.
Yeah.
So if you're an optimist, you have a much tougher life than those pessimists.
People.
I'm being pessimistic right now. But it's a good thing. It's a good thing. I'm an optimist about it. So.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So what are other things? So they talk about other things that can help us deal with stress. And here are some physical lifestyle things. These are very important, and these are very important in the sense of longevity. This is the third big bullet on the left that talks about physical activity. Cold training, sexual relationships, character, I have to figure out what that is. Use of Eastern, I don't know what that is and how I put it in there.
Your personality, maybe.
Maybe.
That. I don't know.
or developing a character, or playing a character. Eastern practices such as yoga, we talked about optimism. Humor and non-confrontation and acceptance of our own age can help us adapt to and neutralize the action and aftermath of stress. Wow. So.
Wow, there's something there that I really be no confrontation. I really don't agree.
But I think it's part of that's like judo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of hitting something on, you step to a side, throw it on the ground, and be like, hold on.
And escape and be like that and leave it. Yeah, it has to balance because you can have a healthy confrontation, but it's not like they avoid the situation, you know.
Well, I think the other piece was is that if you say I don't want to confront non-confrontation of my own age, I think that was the other way.
Okay.
You can
for
read
yourself.
It that way too.
Okay.
Is that I'm not going to be like, oh my gosh, I'm so old. It's like, you know what? I'm accepting. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, the age I am. It's not a big problem.
Yeah.
Move on. Continue the physical activity. Continue the healthy lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Continue the social interaction. That this was the biggest thing, that the end of this study, the conclusion was that lifestyle may be the main determinant of active longevity.
Mm-hmm.
And what active longevity means is that longevity in itself is not the goal.
Mm-hmm.
Active longevity means you're interfacing with people, you're up, you're able to move about. You can go, say you live in a small town, you can walk to a small shop, have a cup of coffee, and socialize with other people. So it's interacting with other people, taking part in social life and social activity, physically moving,
mm-hmm.
mentally stimulating, humor. They said humor was huge because humor, not only are you enjoying and laughing and getting the benefits of a laugh, but humor is actually, you have to think in order to try to find something funny.
Yeah.
And you can try a lot of things, and some of them might not be funny, as you know.
Mm-hmm. Your level of humor is really high.
Humor.
Yeah, I know that.
But humor itself does take creativity.
Yeah.
And being able to find things funny may also help you deal with the stressors.
Yeah.
So active longevity is actually being active in a long life.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we were tying these into relationship, is that being in a long relationship, you need to be actively in that loving relationship with the person.
Yeah.
And being involved with others, I think, is very important, is looking at how do we get out of our own bubble sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes, yeah. And share, and different group, different people, because you have your family group, your friend group, or maybe you have the yoga group, or you have the reading group, or you have, so these make your brain more rich to not just stuck in your family only. Yeah.
Exactly. When we come back, we're going to talk more about longevity. And we're going to talk more about the study on what are the specific things that can impact longevity, again, in your life, but how that impacts your relationships and those around you. When we come back on 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date, and then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions. Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And you.
And here we are in our final segment on, what is it? Long, healthy relationships. Why we focused a little bit more on our own longevity,
mm-hmm.
is that in order to have a long, healthy relationship, we feel that individual and couple longevity, healthy, let's try that again, the health of each individual in that relationship is very important to the health of the relationship. I know friends who have a situation where one of the couple may not be as healthy as they could be, and that's a stressor. And it doesn't mean they're not trying to be healthy, but if there is an ability for you to impact your own health, it will impact the health of the relationship. It also may give you something to do together. Let's look at more recipes that might increase our nutritional intake in a positive way.
Yeah.
Let's, you want to walk today? We can walk over here.
You want to make a show for
me? We make a show. We do research. And that was one thing, yeah. We talked about this before, is every week we're researching something new.
I do try to learn each other.
Somebody
can learn.
Somebody can learn something. We find it interesting. Hopefully, yeah. Our excitement in learning. If we can just promote the excitement of learning that we have in all the different topics that impact our relationship,
yeah. Hopefully
your relationship and our relationship with the world.
That is the
plan. It's a positive thing,
yeah,
right?
Positive. So, you're optimistic now.
I'm very optimistic. Which leads us to this Russian study. Here's a research paper brought to us by the Kazan State Medical University in Russia from the Central Research Laboratory, which they had the determinants of human longevity. And here are 8 things they looked at. They looked at the environment, nutrition, physical activity, beneficial stress, heredity, healthcare, or access to, motivation, reason for, and mental state. Just basically, what is your mental state? And these were the 8 things that they researched and gave some results of how they impact longevity.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the preceding slides that we talked about had some information that came from this study. Let's get to the number one thing here. Page 1, environment. Here's some conclusions, discussion points. That the geographical area, the blue zones and mountains, played a role in longevity. And the blue zones had to do near the ocean, near the water, and mountains up 1,800, 2,000 meters above sea level, that there were distinct environments that created a special area for people to live. It may have been the terrain was hilly, and so when they had a walk, there was a little bit of exercise that, you know, more exercise than normal. They talked about being up at 2,000, 1,800 meters above sea level being special because it reduced the oxygen and it put a little bit lower oxygen load on the human body, which actually had some positive potential effect on that. Being in the mountain or near the sea, there were unique vegetables, there were environments, there was water, the water, access to fresh water,
yeah. Clean
water. So that was very important. Environmental pollution, that was another, is that these areas had very low environmental pollution.
Yeah.
They were sort of isolated areas in a way, too. I don't want to say protected, but they were very, very clean ecosystems.
Mm-hmm.
The nutrition of these people who had longevity, and you know what's interesting, though, they also had long relationships, and we'll talk about that in a minute. The dietary regimen to support active longevity, that was very important. What was the diet that the people ate? Vegetarianism and calorie restriction and fasting were all a part of it, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Role of vitamins, biological antioxidants, micronutrients, and geroprotectors. So there are certain compounds that are found to prolong life, and now there's a list of about 200 of them. The research I read about them, that there are 200 of these things identified as geoprotectors, none commercially available to purchase. But they're, I guess, within the foods themselves.
Okay.
So they haven't isolated them. Now, my fear, having read everything else we just read, is that once you start isolating these things, they become like snake oil. Oh, here you are. You have a synthesized bottle of, or a separated bottle of, this thing that has been shown in studies to be good for you. Well, in this bottle, it may actually cause problems for you.
Yeah, because it's not balanced.
It's not normal. It's not natural.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know. That's just a thought based upon that. The other piece of this was the dietary, the calorie restriction. This blew my mind. They were talking about 800 to 1,200 calories a day were the amount of calories that was the average intake of those people who had the longer lives. So it was it's like, how do you do that?
Yeah.
That was breakfast.
Okay. Yes.
That was my latte, my triple latte with fudge and whipped cream. That was 3,000 calories. I mean, that was like, what, 3-4 days worth of calories?
Yeah.
But that was another, is that food was an important part of the diet. The food that they ate, and we talk about legumes and beans and other things, rice, that there might have been a high fiber content, low caloric content, so you had a full meal, but a lot of the calories were kind of hidden in there.
And also how, in what kind of land grew this food, because this is the other point, you know, so if you have a rich soil, the fruit or the vegetable or whatever you're eating have all mineral stuff that you need versus some land that maybe don't have. So
we've talked about this before, or at least between us, is that when you have fruits and vegetables that are growing off the side of a mountain where rainwater is hitting the mountain and washing down from the rock, and you're getting all the minerals in the earth, and then naturally that's getting collected in the tomatoes and the legumes and the lettuce, and you have vegetables that are packed with natural nutrients, it's different than vegetables that have been grown in the desert or dust with man-made chemicals added for the nutrients and the vitamins and the quote growth things. So you may have a massive amount of food with a low amount of nutrition versus a smaller amount of food with highly packed, condensed, good nutrition.
Yes.
Again, we're not nutritionists. It's just an observation.
Just one comment.
Just one comment.
A little bit.
We have no opinions. Yeah. We just have observations.
Yeah.
No conclusions. Things to think about. So the low amount of calories, but the probably highly nutritionally dense foods was important. And there were certain vitamins and things they talk about, which I don't think we're going to talk about.
What is it? Physical activities.
Physical. Let's see where I keep hitting the wrong mouse here. Physical activity. Here we go. The importance of activity and eustress stress. We talked about this before, which is called beneficial stress, which are low stressors that give us benefit. Lifestyle, physical activity, and sexual relationship. Very important. We talk about Qigong and yoga practices, which are physical practices of body movement, stretching, cognitive activity, sense of humor. Sense of humor, very important. And then also acceptance of age in activities of daily living and survival. And beneficial stress we just talked about is having beneficial stress in your life. If you don't have any of the things that are called beneficial stress, and all you're doing is dealing with life's daily stress, which may not be considered beneficial, and you may have no other ways of helping to counteract that. So if you're not doing physical activity, if you're not doing humor, you're not being social, then you're not having these ways that counterbalance the stress with the beneficial stress. Because again, beneficial stress being, I have to think about this conversation I'm having with somebody, and it's a stress because it takes work, but it's a good stress because I get benefit out of it. My brain grows, my brain works,
Your
I get
emotion,
exercise, and these are good things. To continue on, heredity. So how important is heredity? Well, there's an impact on longevity based upon our predecessors, our ancestors, the people who came before us. There's also epigenetic, which is how the behavior, our behavior and environment impact how our genes work. So we have heredity, but if we're eating well, then our genes act even better than we've been programmed because now they have nutrition. And if we eat poorly, then the genes have nothing to work with, right?
Yeah.
So, and what's the interesting thing, and I don't have it here, but it's going to come later in the show, is that it turns out that there are very, very few genes that impact longevity. That there are only a few genes that have any impact on longevity. And most of longevity, we'll get back to what that is. What is the one secret to longevity?
Which one?
We're going to get to it, but not yet. Healthcare. So how does healthcare impact? Do you have access? Do you have early diagnostics? And can you get prevention of age-associated diseases? We talked about being in a relationship so you have somebody who may be able to care for you, or at least, you know, hey, maybe you should get that checked out. Maybe there's somebody you can check in with. Mm-hmm. That somebody cares about you. Maybe you take care of yourself a little better because they care about you. But access to healthcare, early detection, and early prevention of age-related diseases is very important. And longevity, I think that's obvious.
Yes.
This is one of the most important things. What is the motivation for active longevity? It significantly increases the chances to productive longevity when you have motivation. Motivation could be kids, it could be relatives, it could be friends. Could be, I like going to church every Sunday, I like going down to the coffee shop and meeting with a few of my friends and having a drink or having a glass of wine and, mm-hmm. you know, and being out or walking to the beach and sitting on the beach with a couple of people I know. That the motivation for active longevity, again, active, we talked about active longevity, not just longevity, but reasons to do things and be active mentally, mm-hmm. physically, spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
What is our mental state? That was the wrong one.
Yeah.
We need to be here. What is our mental state? What is the state of mind? And are we using meditation for forming health and health thoughts? You know, how we think about life. Again, we talk about the natural systems. And religion and medical practice. Are we involved in religion? And what are our beliefs in religion on health, as well as just spiritually and how we interact with each other? Mm-hmm. And then also, what do we believe about medical? Do we believe in natural medical, in doctor medical, in prescriptions? Like, if, mm-hmm. like again, here's a pill for that versus here's a nutritional program for that.
Mm-hmm.
How do we believe? And it doesn't mean one's better than the other. It means, do you have one? Do you have a belief and a belief system in that? Well, skip to our conclusions. You want to go to conclusions?
Sure.
Here are conclusions as we're wrapping up this show. That long life is prevalent. It's all around us and emerges in coastal blue zones or mountain areas, approximately 500 to 1,800 meters above sea level. Again, the oxygen, a little bit less oxygen, but also special, what are those called again? Ecosystems. With unique climates, composition of water and atmosphere. The calorie intake, low calorie intake, that kind of, I think, blows my mind in a way. But I think it's also there to say that humans don't need a lot of calories to get by.
Yeah.
I remember, I think I saw my, was it my grandfather or great-grandfather? My grandfather, when he came to the U.S., he had, I'm sorry, it wasn't when he came to the U.S., it was when he got out of the Navy. He had his little paper of who he was and this and that, and it was like he was, I don't know, 30 years old at the time, and he was 5'9" and 141 pounds. And you're thinking, this was like the average weight of people then. Somebody, you know, younger than me, but like I'm thinking of him as being an adult, being 5'9" and 141 pounds. And today I think of that as being really light. Mm-hmm. But that was the active human weight.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that if you're really active, you can eat lots of calories.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have if you're older and you're active, but you're not like that active, maybe this 800 to 1200 calories a day is all you need. The richness of the diet, vegetables, nuts, fruits, legumes, that's what I wanted to talk about. The lentils, beans, corn, and soybeans, these things were prevalent in the diets of the people who had the longest lives.
Mm.
Not a lot of meat, but there was meat and there was fish,
mm-hmm.
but not a lot. They were enormously active. This was important. Enormously active physically. The more active you are, the more involved you are, the more motivated you are, not only in your relationship with your spouse, your partner, your friends, but the more active you are, the more that you have a reason to be involved and connected with people, give you the best chance of having that long, happy life where you continue those relationships and those connections with mental acuity and physical prowess.
There you go.
That's it. Mental acuity, physical prowess. Get it here at 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Thanks for listening to our show. We'll check back with you next week.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lizette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.